Well, perhaps you feel as that video was just talking about, maybe you feel as if God's mission has grown dim. After all, we live in a pluralistic society where it seems that anything goes, right? Worship the God of your choice. Live however you want to. Treat others however you need to in order to get where you want to go or what you want to have. And as Christians, it can be so easy to believe that the mission of God is just burning dim. It seems like maybe we're striving against a lost cause, but I just want to try to encourage us this morning. As you looked around the room and you saw our administrators of our schools, faculty members, teachers, students on all levels, they stood up among us. Could we be encouraged about that? Because God is sending them into our schools to be His messengers, His witnesses, dare I say, missionaries into our schools. It seems to me that the mission of God is in good hands and it is burning bright. And I'm encouraged by that. But the question for all of us is this: will I choose to be an active participant in the mission of God, wherever we might be scattered by Him? And that's exactly what happens when we leave this building here on Sundays, right? We leave here and God scatters us across this city, across this region, to be His witnesses. We have a purpose. We have a mission. If you have your Bible or Bible app, we're going to look at a text this morning that calls us again to this mission. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 24 is going to be our main passage this morning. May God bless the reading of His word for His people. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, they went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and he saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and he was encouraged. And so he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. You know, as I studied this text, there were several things that stood out to me, and I dove into several of those ideas, and one of the phrases that stood out to me was, only to the Jews. Only to the Jews. Did you catch that? That after the stoning of Stephen, God scattered the Christians across the region, and when that happened, Many of them only were spreading the news of Jesus to the Jews. And so we have the early church only to the Jews. After all that had happened, I mean, you think about all that had happened. Acts chapter 2, people came from all over into Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost, and Peter and the other disciples stand up and start speaking in languages that they had never studied or known before, and people from all lands could understand and hear the message of Jesus Christ, that He's the Messiah and the Lord of all and the Savior of the earth. And then Acts chapter 4, John and Peter spreading the gospel again. They're arrested by the teachers of the law, those who had killed Jesus. They're put into prison. The early church, they boldly prayed that John and Peter would be released, and they were, because there's power in prayer. And then Acts chapter 9, this is just a sampling of all that's happening in the book of Acts. But in Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus. And he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, Lord, who are you? right then and there, Saul is converted by Jesus himself from a persecutor to a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus. And I don't know, maybe word got out that Peter had gone to a Gentile's home, a centurion named Cornelius. And he and his whole household believed in the Lord Jesus, were baptized, and the Holy Spirit rained down on the Gentiles just as it had the Jews. And this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they're scratching their heads, and they're going, whoa. Maybe God is a God of all nations, of all people. And yet here in Acts 11 in our text today, it says that the early church were still just talking to people that were Jews. Why is that? They were familiar to them. They were sharing the gospel with people who had a similar religious background. They were comfortable. However, there was a group, right, in our text, as we keep reading, there was a group of disciples from Cyprus and Cyrene who also were talking the gospel to these Greeks, these Jews. And that's the next phrase that stood out to me. Did you notice it? It says that these disciples went and they shared the word of the Lord Jesus with these people, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And so it wasn't just Jews now, it was also Jews and Gentiles, aka that's everybody, right? That's you and me and every human who has a pulse. The gospel is for all. And the hand of the Lord was with them. It was spreading to Jews and Gentiles now. And that's important for us to know, because the hand of the Lord was with them. Did you know in the New Testament you'll find that phrase only twice? It's the exact same wording from the same author, Luke. In his gospel in chapter 1, the hand of the Lord was with him is found. And then here in Acts chapter 11. In Luke chapter 1, verse 66, John the Baptist has just been born, and his father, Zechariah, couldn't talk because of his unbelief. But the Lord loosens his tongue and he's able to talk. And in verse 66, here's the response of those who were there. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Well, we know who John the Baptist became, right? But his father prophesied about it, sang about it in his song in Luke chapter 1, and he says he's going to be a prophet. He's going to be the one that prepares the way for the Lord. John had a message of salvation and hope, and the hand of the Lord was with him. And then in our text today, in Acts chapter 11, we're told that these disciples from Cyprus and Cyrene began to share the good news of Jesus with the Gentiles that were in Antioch. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Why was the Lord's hand with them? Well, it's because they had some good news to share, right? The text tells us they were sharing the good news of Jesus with the Gentiles, and the hand of the Lord was with them because they too had a message of salvation and of hope. And I don't know about you, but maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I would love to be a participant of God's mission, but I don't know if I have the right gift set. I don't know if I have the right personality. I don't know if I have the right platform. Or maybe today, as we talk about administrators and faculty members and teachers and students, maybe you're thinking, you know what, there's these rules. There's these expectations that I'm not supposed to talk about church or talk about God or talk about faith at my school or even at work. And I just want to pause and say, please listen. God is calling you. If you are his disciple, no matter your gender, no matter your age, no matter your gift set, no matter your circumstance, God is calling you to be his witness. Just like the early church, it's you. It's you. You are his witness. And as God's witness, there's no set of rules or expectations that man can make that will make us ashamed of the fact that we, that you, are his witness. It's us, the people of God. We are his witnesses, and he is sending us into our sphere of the world, our circle of influence, to be his witnesses. And here's the good news. Wherever you go and whomever you encounter along the way, the hand of the Lord will be with you. I love that phrase. The hand of the Lord will be with you. And if you've been paying attention so far, some of you may be thinking, well, I too would love to participate, but I'm not a school administrator, faculty member, or teacher. I'm certainly not in school anymore. Matter of fact, I'm retired. And I'm getting older, and I don't really know how to be a participant in God's mission anymore. I'm not certain. Well, I have great news for you this morning. No matter your gender, no matter your age, no matter your gift set, no matter your circumstance, God can use you for his glory. Maybe it's just as simple as prayer, right? And I say just as simple as prayer as if prayer is not powerful, because it is. Let me ask you, do you believe that prayer is powerful? Amen? Do you believe in the power of prayer? Okay. Well, as disciples, maybe we should be praying just as Nate and Andrea led us in this congregational prayer over those that we're sending into our schools. Maybe that's what you can do. Commit to pray every day for our teachers, for our students. And actually, I have great news for you. We have a very practical way for you to do this. This Wednesday is our back-to-school prayer event. Starts at 6:30. It's in our chapel. And you may be wondering, well, what happens at this event? Well, thank you for asking. Let me tell you about it. So here's what happens. We show up, and the adults find a seat in the chapel, and Andrea and her volunteers will set those up. So you just show up, and we have a seat. And then they bring the kids in, and they start to assign the kids to the adults. Some adults get one child, some get two, some get three. But you get to sit with your kids that are assigned to you, and you get to know them by name. They get to know your name, and you ask them where they go to school and what grade they're in and what their teacher's name is and their aspirations for the school year, what their interests and hobbies are. And then you look them in the eye and you say, I'm going to pray for you this school year. And I just want you to know that the power of prayer impacts the heart of a child, but it also impacts the heart of the adult that's praying. Pat Knox, one of our sweet sisters in Christ, attended the back-to-school prayer event last year. She didn't know exactly what she was getting herself into when she showed up, but she showed up, and that's beautiful. But you know what? Her testimony says it all. Here's what she wrote. She said, that Wednesday night, I was introduced to a handsome young boy named Nash. We chatted for a little while, and both of us were a little uncomfortable in our conversation. But after just a few minutes, I told Nash, I'm going to be praying for you every day. And I told him that he would be safe and learn something new every day from his teacher, and that God would put his arms around him and help him in every way. Well, a few weeks went by, and I didn't see Nash. So I decided to drop him a note in the mail. And I again told him that I was praying for him, and I hoped that everything was going well at school. And then the next week, I was waiting for my family out in the gathering room, and Nash came hurrying down the hall, and he didn't see me, so I called out to him to say hello. He continued on for about two or three steps and then came to an abrupt halt, and he came over to me, and he smiled, and he thanked me for the note. And he said, thanks for praying for me. And Pat wrote, it was such a sweet moment. I had to blink back the tears that pooled in my eyes. I have enjoyed several hugs from Nash since, and I feel that we will always be special friends. And listen to how she closes. She says, God is in control of each thing that we do. He can turn the little things into marvelous blessings. Now here's Nash's take on all this. He wrote, last year, on the first day of school, I was a little nervous because I was in a new class with a lot of kids I didn't know. I remembered that Miss Pat was praying for me, and it made me feel better. I felt calm, Third grade was my favorite grade so far. I liked my teachers, I made good friends, and I made good grades. Miss Pat is really caring and nice, and it made me feel really good to get a letter from her. I know she will still pray for me, even if she doesn't draw my name this year. In church, I might add to that story, and as Miss Pat shared the good news of Jesus with Nash, the hand of the Lord was with her. You want to be an active participant in God's mission. Get on your knees and pray for our students and for our teachers. Praying for one another as we go into our corner of the world, wherever that corner of the world might be for you, as we share God's love with our neighbors and friends and coworkers and our students. All of that is imperative. We must pray for one another. But we can also participate by sending support or by going ourselves. And that's what Barnabas did, right? In Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, Barnabas went. He was sent by his church to Antioch, where the new Gentile Christians were. And when he showed up and he saw for himself what the grace of God had done in their lives, I have to believe that he was overwhelmed. But he spent an entire year pouring himself into the lives of those new Christians. And it says that they grew in every way. And as a part of that growth, the text tells us that when a famine hit Judea, these Gentile Christians in Antioch decided to give a gift, a financial gift, and sent it back with Barnabas to the Jerusalem church so that they didn't suffer during the famine. Their Jewish brothers and sisters. What an act of God's grace, right? And you and I, as a part of this congregation, there are so many great ways that we can reflect, that we can do as Barnabas and Saul and the Antioch Christians did in that moment. As we look beyond ourselves, as we look beyond the walls of this building, there are so many wonderful ways that we can be participants in the mission of God. We have this fire within that we talked about last week, this fiery passion within, and if we will allow God to do it, he will use that fire to push us beyond ourselves and into the community nearby. So as a part of our Free to Serve initiative, if you're a new member, we did this initiative. We kicked it off about 2 years ago, and what it includes is paying down our debt, but it also includes expanding our ministry reach into our community. And this is above and beyond what is in our general budget. And so we're giving to these special ministry projects. And so the next one that we're going to get involved in September is for a local work called Christian Works for Children. And to help me explain a little bit more about Christian Works, I'm going to invite Wesley and Natalia. They work for Christian Works in the Fort Worth office. Let's welcome them to the stage. Thanks for being with us today, guys. So Wesley and Natalia have been with us all morning long, and they have a booth out in the Ministry Expo, and I know they would love to talk to you more, answer any questions you might have. But they're going to tell us just a little bit about the mission of Christian Works. And Natalia is actually the coordinator of Grief Works, which is the specific program that we're going to support during the month of September. We're going to give toward that specific work. So Wesley, start us off and just tell us a little bit about the mission of Christian Works and why you're passionate about it.
Sure. Thank you all for having us this morning. Christian Works for Children exists to help children and families navigate life's toughest challenges. I said in the first service, life is hard, whether that's because of our own choices or the choices of people who love us or just the consequences of living in a broken world. We've all experienced some of the hurdles and some of the challenges that life can throw at us. But we have programs in place to help navigate those challenges. And so this morning, we're here specifically promoting our Grief Works program, and so thankful that Alta Mesa is helping us launch that Grief Works program to help children who've lost a significant loved one and their families navigate that challenge, to put tools in their toolbox to help them as they walk through that.
Very good. So, as I mentioned, Ty, you're the coordinator for Grief Works. So, tell us just a little bit more about that work and why you're passionate about it.
As you guys know, we're new in Fort Worth, but I was blessed to be a part of the Grief Works program in Dallas. And my two favorite things about being there and being part of that program were the people I got to work beside, the volunteers that come in, just offer a regular support system for the children and the families. They walk beside them at a very difficult time. And then second of all is the peers in their group. And the children leave with friendships, with people their age, children their age, that are also dealing with tragedy, and this helps normalize their grief process, and they know they're not the only ones dealing with tragedy.
Very good, very good. So, Wesley and Natalia, outside of praying for Christian Works and giving of our finances this next month to support Grief Works, what are some other ways that our people can be involved in your ministry? Natalia, you mentioned volunteers coming in. Share a little bit about how our people can volunteer.
Okay. Yes, we have two ways you can serve along with us. We really need volunteers. The response from the school systems alone has been enormous. And so I'm really anticipating a big growth this year. We'd really like to stay ahead of that and have trained facilitators ready for when we need to start a second night, hopefully. And so if you have a heart for hurting children and families and have a year to commit to helping us just twice a month, then we want you. And if you need to serve in a smaller capacity, we're also looking for groups that can provide a warm home-cooked meal for our families. This is a comfort that helps them be able to make it to group. It's one less thing they have to think about. And then, of course, not least of all, but we would really appreciate your prayers for the facilitators coming and the families coming and just getting this program off the ground.
Thanks, Natalia. Wesley, what would you add to that?
Yeah, just I would also just say, help us spread the word. You know people who have lost a loved one, whose children are wrestling with that and maybe lack the coping tools to deal with that. So help spread the word. Be a friend and encourager, a Barnabas, to come alongside and say, let me share with you this program. If you know people who might be remarkable volunteers, maybe it's not your passion, maybe it's not your niche, but if you know someone, I was speaking out in the lobby with someone earlier who said their cousin lost a family member at an early age and knew that grieving process and was looking for a program just like this to get involved in. If you know someone like that who would be a remarkable facilitator, someone who has the gift of food preparation for larger groups and would be a great meal preparer, then spread that word. Grab one of these cards out there from our table and put that in their hands and say, here's some ways you can help. But we would love to find ways to cooperate and collaborate with local congregations like Alta Mesa to make Grief Works just the best success that it can and bring hope and healing to these families.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's thank them for being with us this morning. Appreciate it very much. So much like the church in Antioch did, they sent a financial gift to the church in Jerusalem so that they wouldn't suffer during the famine. They gave of themselves for the betterment of the kingdom of God. That's what we are trying to do here with Christian Works. We recognize them as a great kingdom of God work in our local community, and we want to do something to partner with them to bring hope and healing in the name of Jesus to families that are hurting. So be looking for more details and information about that, but today, take advantage of them being here. I know Wesley and Natalia would love to visit with you. As we close, whether you choose to participate in God's mission by praying or encouraging or giving support or by partnering or by going, hear this. Be an active participant in God's mission for the sake of the world. You are deeply loved by God, and you belong to Him. And what that means to me is that He has great plans for you. And you may not know what they are right now. You may not even understand who Jesus is yet. Well, let me invite you, get to know Him. Search for yourself in the Scripture, but ask someone here today if they would sit with you and talk with you about their relationship with Jesus. We would love to do that. Find that fire within first, and then be a part of taking that passion and the gospel to our community nearby. Let me pray for us. God.